the end of week one, please keep following up on these. I try to break up some of the monotony of reading stuff all the time, and you know, as we go through this, I'll explain kind of why the course works the way it works, what it can look like, what it should look like. So what I'm kind of going to do this time around, I can't promise that I will do it in this exact same format every time, but what I'm going to do right now is walk you through kind of week one in terms of the assignments. So I'll try to walk in order, I suppose, would be the best way to do it, if that makes sense. So if we're looking at the perusal readings in particular, starting there, you know, the course about your good life, and again, I think one of the things that I've surmised from a number of comments, and there were some very good comments, both here and in the discussions, is, well, it's different for everyone, and that is true. It is different for everyone. So this is not a normative sort of claim to say you have to live like this in order to have a good life. But I, at the same time, there is some tension because we do find that there are great overlaps of behaviors that tend to yield a good life. It's not in your readings, but I ran across this quote last week that stuck out with me, and it said, "Self-esteem is happiness without self-sabotage." And I think there's something to that here, right? You can talk about a good life all day long, yours relative to somebody else's, but A, I don't know that we really know what our good life is, and B, how many times do we sort of sabotage it for something else? So again, I think the readings, you responded very well to those. I do know even there are questions in that longitudinal study from Harvard. I don't think that's the end-all be-all, but sort of generic kinds of principles that people generally come to conclusions about are, you know, it's about relationships, it's about this, it's about that. And I think the difficulty we honestly run into in our everyday lives is we kind of know that, or it's way back in our brain, but then the drawback is we have bills to pay, right? We have a life to live, and that's where the juxtaposition really creates the greatest amount of schism, right? So using that as a springboard into the introduction discussion board, you know, that's what it is, man. It's just an introduction, not a big deal. Thank you for playing my game, if you want to put it that way. The spiritual dimension at work is one that some of you obviously seem to be very inclined towards, or desire maybe. And then there are some who found it probably a more challenging sort of question, or don't even see the application. And so in a couple of my replies or comments or posts, you know, this class is for everyone across the board. So if you are deeply ingrained in a faith tradition, for example, if you're Christian, this is a thing that will address that, sort of, right? It's not about Christianity in and of itself, but it is about how do you sort of live into that spiritual component of your life. It tends to be the one that is the most relational. For those of you who probably struggle the most with that language, there's usually kind of a sense of pushback, like, well, that just doesn't make sense. The real world is the real world, and we're not gonna, there's no room in my head for that kind of weird language. And so I get it, but I would sort of challenge you to think of it this way. Even in ancient Greece, when they talked about the cardinal virtues and those that would be part of a good life, were wisdom, courage, temperance, justice, and unity. Unity is sort of this value that encompasses everything, and it's the same thing. It's actually highly relational. And I think I've maybe mentioned this one time before, but Tom Morris, who was a philosophy professor at Notre Dame, wrote a book, What If Aristotle Ran General Motors? And that is his contention that unity is indeed maybe what the spiritual dimension at work looks like. And what that spiritual dimension looks like is it's there again, different for everyone in some regards, but it's how do you relate to the work itself? How do you relate to others at work? How do you relate to potentially clients, customers, stakeholders, primates, right? If you're in zoo science, that sort of thing. Like, there's all of these things that come together. And I push the spiritual dimension so much is because we do so much sort of compartmentalizing that it creates its own damage. Then we struggle to figure out how do you live a good and beautiful life because we literally have compartmentalized everything in our head. So, you know, think of it that way. It's not so much about a religious institution or a set of rules or programs like that, but man, how do I live a comprehensive life that is not quite so broken up into multiple components? Because it's just exhausting if you really think about it. The soul training exercise is kind of a for fun. We'll keep doing stuff like this. But as we're getting to know each other and, you know, who we are in the class, I just thought we're going to do an exercise here and show each other kind of what we think is beautiful. And man, I love these kinds of exercises for myself because I get a lot of joy out of them personally for the same reason, right? I teach these kinds of classes all the time and you get bored, you're reading stuff and you bore yourself and you know you're boring them and then they turn back and bore you sometimes. Just kidding. But, you know, it's nice when you can see literally from the other person's perspective the thing that is beautiful and brings them joy and peace and tranquility and equanimity and contentment to their life. Like, man, there is nothing better than that. So as I kind of wrap up, I still need to dig down and make sure you were able to complete the Good Life survey and check on the results of that survey. So I'll probably send out another post on that, but I will say this as we go forward, just to be abundantly clear, as far as grading, it's not entirely done yet, but as far as grading goes, being active on Perusall will get you points. Pretty straightforward. Completing the assigned things like introduction and the survey, that gets you points. That's pretty straightforward. The soul training exercise, you know, all of these, the thing is they're due Saturday at midnight. I'll be pretty lenient for week one if you were throwing things in on Sunday, but actually I don't tend to do that. I tend to have everything wrapped up Monday morning. I don't count anything on Sundays. I think everyone needs a break. So I don't build a Sunday schedule. No one should be doing anything on Sundays. And that's, you know, if you're Christian, you sort of maybe get that. If you're not Christian, still gonna tell you, you need a day of rest. You need a day not to do anything. So I try very hard to live by that principle. And so as a result of being in my class, I force that upon you to take a break on Sunday. We'll figure everything else out. The other thing is, when you think about discussion boards, from where I sit as an instructor in this kind of class, this is an exploration. The content is you. I probably will do most of my commenting in Perusall, not so much the discussions or the assignments. The assignments are almost more like journal entries for you. I may or may not comment, only because they're like journal entries. How can I comment on what your good life is? I may want you to focus more on a particular aspect of the practice, but other than that, it should be straightforward. And in the discussions, I want you to think about these discussions like accountability boards, like holding each other accountable for practicing this stuff, for thinking this stuff through. And you know, I'll probably be more alive on the Perusall side of things. But with all that having been said, I think you guys are doing a good job. Keep up the good work. And yeah, I'll be right back at you.